Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 be a jumping off place this morning to get to chapter 5. That's where we're eventually going to get as God leads. And there's a lot of good preaching between Joshua chapter 1 and Joshua chapter 5. Been a great week. Been a busy week. Friday, I was out visiting most of the day. I cut the grass early in the morning before the heat of the day, and then I went out and visiting and got a full day in, come back. And we had plans, going to the high school football game on Friday night. So I wanted a good meal, and junior high JV game was first, so it was a little bit earlier in the day. I come home to a good hot meal, and you know what my wife had cooked for me? Some of you heard about that, didn't you? Spam. Now, I like spam once in a while. But when I got a big meal on my mind, God laid it on my heart, I don't want spam. I love, a spam sandwich with mustard on it, that's good. But a meal didn't work. I complained, you know what I got? Peanut butter and jelly. That was it. I thought, man, oh man, my wife is kind of taking over here. But I rolled with it. I'm going to get a hot dog at the football game. They were sold out, man. There were no hot dogs left. Next morning I get up, I do my morning prayer and my morning workout and Bible reading and study and called somebody on the phone that I needed to talk to just a little bit, and then headed over to the junior high game because this is 10 o'clock in the morning, the junior high game, and I got some grandsons there, so I wanted to watch them play. And I got up a lot earlier than my wife and got dressed. I got this, I'm telling you details for a reason, pale blue polo shirt, khaki pants. That's kind of my thing, right, when I'm kind of semi-casual. I did not know it, but my wife put on a pale blue polo shirt and khaki culottes. And we get over to the football game and walk across the end of the field and kept hearing it from people over and over again. Oh, it's nice, so nice, a husband and wife matching like that. And I thought, oh, I'm kidding. I heard it from complete strangers. Man, that's not me, man. That is not what I am. Oh, your wife dressed you this morning? No. You might as well have put a little beanie on my head with a Twilly bird and a balloon in my hand, and I'd have been walking across the football field. I'm a warrior, man. I'm built to win. I'm built to occupy and to conquer new lands. Joshua, let's go to the book of Joshua this morning. Too often, we as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're happy with that little twirly bird hat, and put a little balloon in our hand, maybe a candy cane or a sucker over your lollipop. That's what it is. We just got to go through life and wear short pants too. My generation does not wear short pants. Amen? Any amens out there? They do not wear short pants. To me, it is still so foreign. And I see old guys doing it. Okay, more power to you. You got more guts than I got. Just not. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, man, put on your big boy pants, your big boy boots. Put on the armor of God. Joshua chapter 1, let's stand together. Joshua in chapter 1, then let me read just a couple of verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, remember last Sunday morning's message? He's a servant, no big shot. You say, he's the deliverer, he brought them out of Egypt. He's a servant, that's why he was a deliverer. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. So he's a servant of a servant. Those are the men that God uses. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I pray this message, if you get right to it, it would be concise. Lord, it would be challenging. It would be convicting. There's a whole world, there's a county that needs to be reached for Christ. And we have the opportunity in front of us right now. So God, help us to get it done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I played in Sunday school this morning. I just realized maybe that microphone wasn't on. You didn't hear how loud it was. But I played this morning. The ladies had a fellowship last night, and it was loud. I tell you the truth, I could hear some of it at the house over here because the windows were open. It was as loud as any football game I was watching on TV on Saturday night. It was amazing. One of the ladies sent me a audio recording of the fellowship time down there, and it sounded like something unworldly. It was like... really, really. She said, everybody's fellowshipping right now. Now, if we could take some of that joy that the ladies had in that meeting, and we could transfer that to our lives and live for the glory of God. Book of Joshua, wonderful book. Man, it's about entering the land of Canaan. It's about finally getting out of the wilderness. 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because they didn't have faith. And that whole generation died in the wilderness. Now a new leader has been raised up. His name is Joshua. They're ready to cross the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. Canaan land, the promised land. But there's between them and Canaan land, the promised land, a raging river at flood stage. 120 to 200 feet deep. 2 miles wide. They're ready to cross the River Jordan as it was at flood stage. Not but a miracle. They're going to need God to get across that river. And that's what we pick up reading. So here's Joshua, the man that God raises up for the hour. He's a military man, and he's going to lead the tribes of Israel over the River Jordan. 2.5 tribes, their inheritance is on this side of Jordan, but they had already agreed. So they sent 40,000 troops with the 600,000 armed men that are going to conquer the land of Canaan. Let's read on. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, to the east, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, that's the Mediterranean Sea, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That promise is to Israel. It was the 12 tribes that were going to enter the land, their inheritance, the abundant life, the land of Canaan. And that promise carries over, that's old covenant, new covenant, to the church of Jesus Christ. And I again quote the verse. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Every place the sole of your feet treads, it'll be yours. We have a mandate from God. It's called the Great Commission. We're to reach the whole world, every creature, Mark in chapter 16 and verse 15, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our mandate. That is not a pale pastel color. That's big and that's bold and that's empowered by God. There's the raging river between us and in the land of Canaan. And it's going to take a little bit of faith. And I preached last Sunday morning on the promises. Oh, let me read the last part of that verse, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You can count on God. He's given us this promise. He has given us this mandate. And God says, it's right here in the holy word of God, I will not fail thee. He says to the church of Jesus Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I'll give you everything you need. I will not fail you. That's the part of the message I'm going to try to get and preach hard here this morning. All God is requiring is that we obey him. Just a little bit of mustard seed faith. Just a little bit of personal fortitude. Just trusting God. And the promise to Israel was this. Recognize the promise and know the book. Got to be tied to the word of God. Believe the book. Stay together. And then chapter two, make room even for the Gentiles. And God is going to bless. The promise, chapter one. Room for the Gentiles, chapter 2, Rahab. Chapter 3, sanctify yourself and cross the River Jordan. And then chapter 4, don't forget what you're going to see this day. And you tell it unto your children so that they will know there's a God in heaven. And then we get to my text this morning, and that is chapter 5. 2.5 million, that's an estimate, but it's a good estimate. Between 1.5 and 2.5 million Hebrews crossed the River Jordan. They were singularly chosen by God, blessed by God, delivered by God, and sustained by God. They were the center of his attention. I'm telling you this morning that God in heaven looks down upon the church of Jesus Christ, and we're the center of his attention. And we've been given a job to do. I've heard every excuse in the world. I've used every excuse in the world. Man, I know what it is to be lazy. I know what it is to be slothful. I'm too busy, preacher. I got too much going on. Your neighbor dies and goes to hell. God, you know, I can't come to Sunday night and another neighbor dies and goes to hell. You just can't make prayer meetings, so I'm kind of leaving that part out of my life. I can't come to Sunday school and a relative dies and goes to hell. And the angels of heaven got to be thinking, what in the world's going on? This is the church. This is Christ's church. He said he'd build it. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There's a lot here. I'm going to try to get to some more here this morning. Look at, the land of Canaan, seven nations are represented in the land of Canaan. The Amorites are there. The giants are there that the original 12 spies saw. The fortress cities are there in the land. But this generation is going to obey God. And they're going to enter the land of Canaan. It's going to be great battles. I submit to you, according to the word of God, they didn't lose a battle except when they tried to do it themselves. God is going to ask the children of Israel to do some silly things here. The battle is God's. He said, here's what you got to do. You march around the city 7 days in a row. I want part of the 600,000 men up front. I want seven Levites blowing the ram's horns. I want the Ark of the Covenant in behind. And I want the rear guard, the rest of the soldiers. And you're not going to say a thing for 6 days in a row. You're going to march around that city one time. And all they're going to hear is the shofar, the ram's horns. They're going to hear, ooh, and the marching men, the marching feet of 600,000 men. Nobody's going to say a word. They may mock you. They may jeer you. But the only way you're going to win this war is you win it my way. The seventh day, they marched around seven times, sounded the trumpet. A deafening shout goes up from the men of God, and the city, the walls come tumbling down. And they just march into the city and take everything. Everybody is destroyed except Rahab and her kinfolk. That's, you know, that story. Let's go to chapter 3. So I'll rewind just a little bit, and I'm going to get to what I want to preach. And you're paying real good attention. Stay with me, all right? Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. So they're getting ready to cross the river Jordan. Verse 2, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Ark of the Covenant, that's the presence of God. That is Shekinah glory. He's right there in their midst. He said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Fall in line. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, or about a half a mile by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. What we do need to know is we need to follow our God. That is a big part of the message this morning. Be obedient to Christ. You know how to know the will of God? I'll probably get there. John chapter 14 and verse 26. By being obeying God. They're the only ones that God is going to manifest himself to. It isn't going to be enough to know the Bible. It isn't going to be enough to know right and wrong and good doctrine. You've got to be the ones that are the doers of the word. And it's the doers of the word that God reveals his will to. But I get ahead of myself. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Skip on over to chapter 4. And he says, you remember this day what you're about to see. You take 12 stones and you erect a monument. Rough stones, not hewn out by man. And when your children come by later and say, what mean these stones? You tell them the day you crossed the River Jordan. You tell them how nobody even got wet feet. You go back and you tell them about how God delivered them out of 400 years of slavery. That's a picture of salvation from the land of Egypt. And Moses stood there at the edge of the Red Sea and said, behold, stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. And the seas parted and everybody marched through. Two and a half million people marched through on dry land. You tell your children and your grandchildren about that because they're not going to get to see it. When you cross over the River Jordan, the feet of the high priest or the priests with the Ark of the Covenant, when they stepped out into the River Jordan, the waters parted and they heaped up and they piled up and everybody crossed over on dry ground and got to the other side. When your children ask what mean these stones, you tell them how powerful God is and that you saw it with your own eyes and that they can trust him. Let's skip ahead. Skip on over to chapter 5. Let's go there. Chapter 5, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were in this side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. They had heard, look at verse 22 up in chapter 4, verse 21. And when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. That all the people, last verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So here's the citizens of Jericho, this city-state, great walled city, feared by people around them, mighty army. When they heard what God had done for the Hebrews, even the toughest men, their heart melted within. They knew they couldn't stand against God. And you talk about unnerving. 6 days in a row, 600,000 people, soldiers march around the city. Here they come, I'm on the wall. Here they go, all around the city, complete silence, except for the Levites blowing their horns. That had to be unnerving. The world ought to be unnerved by the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. We worship a mighty God. Amen. A mighty God. And we forget that sometimes. You get all caught up in the news of the day, in the heartaches of life, and we forget how big God is. Well, I got 4 points to preach, and I've got about 7 or 8 minutes. I might be able to stretch it a little bit longer than that. And it might be a little warm where you are, but this part of the message is so important. This is a preparatory service for next Sunday. Friends and family Sunday can be a good Sunday, or it can be a great Sunday. That's up to us. I know what God wants to do. We've had friend days here before when people had to park on the lawn, when there was more people that could fit in this auditorium and in the foyer. We've had friend day here before. I remember a friend day when all the kids had to go out to the gymnasium because there just was no room. Man, it could be a good Sunday, and if one person gets saved, that's a good Sunday. Yeah. Or it could be a great Sunday. It's totally in our hands. In chapter, I think it's 3 and verse 5. It is 3 and 5. Joshua said to the people of God, God is going to work in our midst, and we're crossing the River Jordan tomorrow. Raging river, we're crossing it. God's at work. Sanctify yourself. And then we skip ahead to chapter 5. Same thought. I trust that it'll bless your heart this morning. Chapter 5, and let me start reading with verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. The reason the second time, by the way, and this is a covenant sign for the Israel between Israel and God, is that first generation, they're all gone. They're all gone. They're all dead. They've gone to heaven. They're gone to actually Abraham's bosom, but they're all gone. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Just a real quick thought again. God wants you to live smack dab in his blessing. In spite of the heat of battle, in spite of society, in spite of all that is going wrong, in spite of health problems, in spite of heartache, in spite of all of that, God wants you to know the peace of God and the abundant life that he's provided for you. Now, that first generation that came out of the land of Egypt, they didn't get to the promised land. Promised land's not heaven. If the promised land is heaven, then Moses didn't go to heaven. We know that's not true, right? So they died in the wilderness because they didn't have faith to believe God. They were afraid of the giants that were in the land. Their children now are in control. Joshua and Caleb are still there. Everybody else is gone. So he says, first of all, you've got to be consecrated. Just like Joshua told the children of Israel before they crossed the River Jordan. Like it or not, we are to be different than the world. Some people don't like that. I wear the term separatist with pride. By separatist, I don't mean work salvation. I don't mean standards equal holiness. That's not it at all. But I obey the voice of God. I obey the word of God. And if I'm going to be a separatist with a good attitude, I'm going to do the things that God has commanded me to do. They weren't circumcised. Now, it's a metaphor for you and me. But God says to Joshua, those men have to be circumcised. You're supposed to be my people. You're supposed to be different than the world. Church, ecclesia, called out once. Different than the world. Great crowd this morning. We do it without a drum set. We do it without fleshly entertainment. We do it without a fashion show. It's just preaching the book. It's honoring God. The whole world needs to be reached with the gospel. I'm a soldier. You're a soldier. We're supposed to be soldiers of the cross. It's not a picnic. Man, it's a battleship. It's not a cruise liner. Someone has to be willing. There's 600,000 men. They said, man, I'm willing. So they get separated. They get called out. We are different, by the way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We're a peculiar people. We're purchased. We're supposed to be different than the world. We're not supposed to blend into the world. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they didn't blend into the world. Man, they stood out. They stood out for God. So he said, number one, consecrate yourself. Go to chapter 5, and let's skip ahead to verse 10. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach, the shame of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, or the rolling away. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Here's the deal. They said, okay, I just realized I said, here's the deal again. Okay, I'm gonna try to break myself of that habit. Because Evelyn's over there smiling at me right now, just as broad as, here's the deal. Here's what's going on here, right? They as a people of God have been called of God to be different, to be consecrated, to be different than the world. And then they're to celebrate. They go back to the old time religion. It's interesting to me. They celebrate the Passover. For the last time with the old corn from the land. Because what's going to happen as they enter into the land of Canaan and receive their inheritance? The manna's going to stop. That was good for the wilderness. And God met their need. But now they're going to be in the land of Canaan. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. If you'll serve God, if you'll sell out to God, you'll find out what that milk and honey is. You'll find out how good it is. You'll wake up in the morning ready to hit life. Man, you'll go to bed at night dog tired, but just so content because you were used of God that day. Man, how long has it been since you've been there? How long has it been since you experienced that kind of life? That's what that's how the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be living. So they celebrate. They thank God for what he has done. The bigness of God is what is celebrated. And you can't exaggerate the gospel. You can't exaggerate what Jesus did for the sinner, for you and for me at the hill of Calvary. You can't over talk how good God is. What you need to do is you need to go to people all week long and tell them how much you love Jesus. You need to tell them about the church services and they'll recognize, man, that guy really loves church. That lady must really love their church. There's something, I talked to some people yesterday. Everywhere you go, you're able to talk to people. I said, man, why don't you come on out to church? Come on out to Fundamental Baptist Church. And somebody that was a little bit older than us, Debbie and I in high school, and said, you know what he told me? And this is somebody I would not have thought was ever interested in the things of God. Because their past life hasn't shown that. But now, he said, you know, my wife and I have been talking about coming. There are people like that everywhere. But if they don't know how much you love your Jesus, you're not going to convince them to come. If they don't know how much you love the church of Jesus Christ, they're not going to think, man, something's going on over there. How to see what's going on. So he says, number one, you got to separate. You got to consecrate. Then you celebrate. You get to the place where God just blesses you. And then you capitulate. You get visited by God. That's kind of spooky sounding. But let me read verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Before I read any further, that man is Jesus. Amen. There's a sword in his hand. He's a warrior king. Man, we're to conquer the world with the gospel. This is so rich with metaphors. The church of Jesus Christ is to be on the offense. Again, no, forget those pastel colors. Pastel blue polo shirt, I don't think I'll ever wear it again. All right. Forget those things. As a child of God, put on the armor of God. And it's not you're wielding the sword and being making a mess of things. That's not it at all. You hurt a lot of people if you don't know what you're doing. But you understand, you're in the army of God. And Joshua here, he finds out something. They're ready to conquer. They're ready to march on Jericho. He's not exactly sure how it's going to happen. But he's taking that step and he's obeying and he's ready to go. And now in the quietness of the night, there's Joshua walking along, probably looking over the city of Jericho off in the distance. And he meets a man. And the man has a sword in his hand. He finds out in these next three verses, that he's in the presence of God. He falls on his face in the dirt, in worship, in surrender. Let me read verse 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, he's a warrior, and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. He got marching orders. Okay, the whole message comes to this concerning next Sunday morning. We have a job before us. It can be a good Sunday. We could have a crowd like we always have, crowd like this, and it'll be a good Sunday. And maybe somebody's going to get saved. Or it can be a great Sunday. We're on holy ground. The captain of the Lord's host, the head of the church, he is with us. It's up to us on whether we surrender. Joshua got in his face. What would you have me to do? And the battle plans that he has given took complete faith. I summarize. Joshua, I want you to go on parade. I want you to get all the men together, hundreds of thousands in front, seven Levites blowing the ram's horns, the Ark of the Covenant, for God is in your midst, and then the rear guard. I want you to march all the way around the city. Nobody saying a word. You know that those in Jericho, the military, they're watching. Their hearts, we already read, were melted. Here they come, 600,000 strong. They march around the city. They hear the trumpets of the ram's horns, and they see the Ark of the Covenant. They know something big is going on, but all they hear is the marching feet, and the men retreat. Next morning, same thing, 6 days in a row. Seventh day, what kind of battle plan is this? The only way we are going to win is to do it God's way. That's it. That's the only way. 6 days, seventh day, seven times, the men shout, the walls come tumbling down. Complete victory. Don't take any of the spoil, none of the gold, none of the silver, nothing. It's all destroyed. Our mandate is to reach our neighbors for Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.